lesson comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 66, and we'll be reading verses 8 through 20. And that's on Pew Bible page 465. Children of God, let us listen to God's word. Bless our God, O peoples, let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You have brought us into the net. You have laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a spacious place. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, those that my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fatlings with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for me. I cried aloud to him, and he extolled with my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly, God has listened. He has given heed to the words of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. Brothers and sisters, our New Testament lesson comes from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 17. Verses 22 through 31 on Pew Bible page 898. Let us hear God's word. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found that among them an altar with the inscription, to an unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all peoples everywhere to repent. Because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Children of God, this is the good news. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you. We thank you for your word that lights our path and guides our hearts. We ask, Lord, that it would lead us and teach us so that we would best serve you in this world of ours, so that we would be able to celebrate your hand on our lives and in our world. In your name we pray. Amen. Over the past few weeks, we've kind of been moving forward and around in our scriptures. We focused on the early days of the church and some of the foundational teachings which Jesus made about how he was the way, the truth, and the life. And now we've traveled quite a ways to be with Paul in Athens. Now, bear in mind, there were no airplanes or navigational charts for Paul. There was no GPS that he could pick up on his phone or Uber to take him here, there, and everywhere. You couldn't hop online or, if you're of a certain age, call a travel agent or maybe get one of your grandkids or kids to be your travel agent. Get you a boat cruise from point A to point B. There's an actual reason why it isn't all that surprising that Paul ends up shipwrecked at one point. When you consider all the places covered by Paul, Greece, Macedonia, Turkey, Syria, Italy, Malta, Crete, and Cyprus, and Israel, remember, he's not doing it by car, bus, or airplane. When he goes from island to island, it's a question of whether or not he's going to get there. It's not a 14-day lovely Mediterranean cruise. There's one piece of scripture which always stands out for me here. It's the readily thought of solution in the book of Jonah when the storm hits. Those sailors know exactly what to do when the storm hits. Figure out why the storm is and chuck him overboard. The reality is, if storms cause that much havoc that you have a ready solution, it means boat travel is not as safe as it is today. But Paul isn't just a courageous missionary who travels everywhere. He's willing to be courageous and go beyond what is normal. Normal, period, because when we look at what is now the common occurrence of a missionary, Paul was really and truly the first great missionary, wasn't he? There wasn't a formal training or preparation school for him to go on his missionary travels. There wasn't a path of missionary where you would build up support, take classes, attend lectures, formulate a missionary plan. Paul just kind of went and did. He's breaking new ground. Even in the 100 years of the RCA mission in Oman, there was at least boxes to check before you go and do. And Paul had none of that to support him and guide him. This actually reminds me of Wally's lecture and Orlando Harriman, former minister of this church. And it's okay if you don't remember that name. He was minister of this church and then decided to go be in ministry in the gold fields of California. It didn't work out, and he was stuck in California for 11 months as he sought to build up his support to come back out east. The fact is, that was all too common of an occurrence. And Paul goes and does. It causes me to marvel at all that he does because he's not backed by a denomination. He's not a seminary graduate. He is a man guided by God's Spirit to go and do and be. And so when we see him in Athens, that great place of democracy and philosophy, of higher learning, of Aristotle, Socrates, and Plato, when we think of that, he's really an ordinary guy going to this place of higher education and learning. And when he gets there, he's bothered. He looks all throughout the city, and there are idols left, right, and sideways. Idols, idols everywhere. All these foreign deities, and Paul gets kind of upset. So he starts talking, and as ministers can tend to do, maybe he ran his mouth once in a while. And so the people of the city get kind of upset that he's babbling on about their idols. So they drag him to this place called the Areopagus. Now, there are two places this might be. He's either in a judicial council, so a little ratchet up of the anxiety in the room there for him, or on a hill near the Acropolis. Paul's not a trained public speaker, and yet he's presented in this almost forum amphitheater type setting to speak. But there's an opportunity in this, a moment for him to take advantage of. And what does he do in that moment? Now, the amazing thing is that Paul does a few things, and really in two parts. The first is amazing, and the other is normal. And normal, again, is up for debate, since Paul is a first missionary. He is obviously very led by the Spirit, and normal for him is a little beyond normal for us. The normal and part there is that he goes and does. He tells the story of Christ to this crowd. He witnesses and tells them of him. He lets the message of the gospel speak to the crowd. He just tells of Jesus, who he was, what he did. He doesn't over-explain the gospel or get sidetracked in the rabbit holes of debate with these learned people. He doesn't get distracted by their scoffing, by them calling him a babbler. He goes and preaches the gospel. He goes and tells of Christ. Well, that might be normal, but it's very difficult to do as normal. It's the lesson of cooking. You know? How hard is it to not hover over the pot when you're boiling something? When you're making a corned beef, you set the burner just so and get it nice and rolling, and then you almost have to monitor the pot so that it doesn't do that overflow thing that corned beefs always do. You have to know when good is good, when enough is enough when you cook. I remember the first time I helped my dad to cook a ham and my grandpa to cook a turkey. I drove them nuts. Is it time to check it now? Should we check it? Is it time to go look? Should we turn on the light? There's a reason why years later I pushed the button on the oven and saw that the light came on, which surprised me because I had been told that the light was broken for the past 10 years. Now, I hovered and I asked and I asked and I just couldn't leave well enough alone. Until finally grandma and mom, depending on who the cook was in the kitchen, put their hand on my shoulder and just said, "Why don't you just ask me the questions?" And they would gently explain that you can't just constantly check. You can't just constantly monitor. You have to let it cook. You have to let it be. That's the ordinary part here, is that all Paul does is tell the story of the gospel and let it be. But then comes the second part that Paul does, and it is extraordinary. Now, the problem is we look at Paul, look at Jesus, and when they do amazing things, we treat it as ordinary. But it's far from it. When Jesus does a miracle, is it ordinary for Jesus to do a miracle? Yes. Is it still beyond anything we can comprehend? yes, as well. So when Paul goes and does, it's amazing. He looks at what's around him. He seizes the moment. He makes the most of what he has. And look at what he does. Look at what he preaches. He passes this idol, this place, to an unknown God. What are the chances someone noticed that lived in the city? And yet Paul notices it, and he uses it on a turn of a dime. He uses what he has. He pays attention to his surroundings. And most of all, he meets the people where they are. He meets those educated people of Athens, those philosophers, where they are. Now, today is quite the special day, isn't it? It's Mother's Day. And though we might both have a difficult day and a wonderful day on today, it's one of those days that kind of brings the threads of life all together. When I look at what Paul does in his lessons and his teachings, I'm reminded of how he does this, how he makes the most of his opportunity, meets people where they are, and lets the gospel marinate almost with the people. And for me, that makes me think of two people, two women, my mom and my grandma, and not because of the cooking example I used earlier, although it does work as well. Yes, they did pull my feet out of the fire when I was frustrating Dad and Grandpa. But the other side is, like other people in our lives, they touch and teach and provide examples for us. Whether willingly or unwillingly, whether intentionally or not, they show us how to be the body of Christ. Now, for Grandma, she just had that presence of just patiently waiting. She was the one who, if you wanted an idea to sit and marinate, it was Grandma. She would sit on that. She would just let it happen. Not rushing, not saying too much, but letting it happen in its own time. She got that. Sure, she would express that she was getting frustrated with certain members of the family and their faith journey and how she wanted it to be not where it was, but where it should be. But she was always patient and willing to be there. Mom worked for almost 30 years in a homeless ministry. She knew all about meeting people where they are. Working with addicts, various forms of society's outcasts, Mom got the idea of the gospel meeting people where they were in life. Now, Grandma, God bless her, she wasn't gifted like that. She didn't necessarily get meeting people where they were. She, as I said earlier, in her sweet Dutch way, wanted to drag people to where she wanted them to be. But as I said, she had the patience that Mom didn't. She knew that the gospel took time to work, that the Spirit would move in and around and through us. As we look at the results of Paul's ministry and mission, we see all that he does, and it might be overwhelming, all these missionary journeys he travels to work. And so we look at the great and grand, and we get lost in the small and simple. The lessons aren't in the huge churches he planted, but in the small ways he touched faith and lives. the realities of making the most of your opportunities to present your faith, making the most of letting the gospel speak for itself, simply sharing your story, not going too deep and far, but sharing how God has worked in and through your life, and meeting people where they are, and trusting in God's Spirit to get them where they're going to be. Will we ever manage to put these things together like Paul did? I don't know. I don't know, but through the Spirit, all things are possible. And through the lessons of Paul and all the faithful men and women through time and history, we know and have seen all that we can do through God. And so, brothers and sisters, on this joyful Mother's Day, may we go forth to tell of the good news. May we go and relieve the oppressed, bind up the brokenhearted, and serve our God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us respond to God through our offering.